Born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal. Constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death, the winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 4, Episode 15, Promises. And here to chat with you about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and with me, as always, is Audie. And how are you this week?
Doing good, man. Kind of tired. Today's been one of those days where it's just like, I feel like I've been on my feet and doing stuff all day.
I know what that's like. I actually gave myself an impromptu four-day weekend from my day job, so
nice.
I'm feeling slightly refreshed, which is nice. We'll see how long it lasts, but it does mean I only have a three-day work week, too, so that'll be nice. Episode 15, Promises. So we're coming off of a pretty heavy two-part arc. Mm-hmm. And typically you would have a more lighthearted episode coming off of that. This is not that.
No.
But there are some good things about this episode that I do kind of want to dive into. There's some stuff that I have questions about, and I don't know. I don't know if I just wasn't in the right mindset when I watched it or what it was, but I have some quibbles about this.
Yeah,
episode.
It was an interesting one for sure.
Mm-hmm. But before we get too deep into that, we've got a Watcher Chronicle to listen to. So here's that.
Well, heck yeah.
February 26, 1996. It's been almost 2 weeks since all that business with the Dark Quickening happened. MacLeod seems to be back to his normal self. He's been spending time with Rachel, taking her around Paris every day. Dawson has been keeping tabs on things here, but I haven't heard at all if he plans to come to Paris or not. I think things really shook him up. I read his entry about what happened with the Dark Quickening and MacLeod, and I don't know if he's recovered yet from having to shoot the Highlander like he did. I just hope these quiet days last for a little while longer.
So to start the episode out, Duncan and Rachel MacLeod are walking around Paris. Max kind of back to his old self. He's very mm-hmm. goofy, very silly. He's having a great time with her. Apparently, it's been about 2 weeks that she's been around, and he's talked to her a lot, but she hasn't asked him any questions about him, which he's sort of like, are you gonna or not? And she just sort of brushes that off. Like, no, I know what I need to know about you.
I love the quote, I've learned not to question magic.
And it's just that's like a great one. So they're just having a great time. And as they're walking along, suddenly Mac feels the presence of an immortal. And so he tells her, hey, stay here. I'm going to go check this out. And on his way over, he sees somebody looking really suspicious. He stops an assassination attempt on mm-hmm. a foreign president of some kind. When we come back to it, we find out that Kasim is the president's head bodyguard and is an old acquaintance of MacLeod's. Not a friend, but they know each other.
Right.
And we get a flashback. Coming out of that, the president invites Duncan to a party later that night. And, of course, Duncan can't refuse. So he says he will go. Rachel's like, I can't go. I don't have anything to wear. So Duncan takes her shopping, as you do.
Of course he does.
So they go to the party, and while they're there, Kasim finds Duncan. They start talking, and it turns out that Kasim had set up the assassination. It was his mm-hmm. move, because one of the president's aides, or not an aide, but another person involved, is Nasir al-Deneb, who Kasim feels should be the ruler. He feels that the current president is a tyrant. He's imprisoning people and doing all sorts of terrible things. And Nasir, not only should he be the rightful president, but he's also of royal blood. And now Kasim wants Duncan to kill the president because he stopped the previous assassination attempt, and Duncan owes him one.
Mm-hmm.
He made a promise to him. So, you know, Duncan's like, I'm not going to kill somebody. I'm not judging somebody that I don't know. And Kasim lets him know, no, you're not doing the judging. I've already done that. You just kill him. and we get another flashback. So the next day, Rachel is at the bar. She's heading out to mail some letters or something. But on her way out, a delivery person shows up with a box for Duncan. And before Duncan can get it from her, she opens the box and there's a pistol in there. And there's kind of an interesting exchange between the two of them where Duncan's like, look, it's complicated, okay? And Rachel's like, Rachel, to her credit, doesn't flip out about it and just tells mm-hmm. Duncan, and I kind of like the line, Duncan, she tells Duncan, I know you wouldn't do anything that you shouldn't.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, there's a laying that down there pretty thick for Duncan as he's on his way out the door. But Duncan's like, all right. And he leaves, goes off to a restaurant where the president is. And the exchange with the president and his aides is great, where he's like, what's with this place? And the guy goes, well, this is the food of our country. I know. But when I'm in Paris, I want French food. but of course, it's all set up by Kasim. He's trying to get the assassination again. Duncan shows up. But he hesitates. And here's kind of a dumb thing is Kasim, when Duncan is about to take the shot, is just staring a hole through him.
Mm-hmm.
Enough that the president notices him watching in this direction and gets like spooked by everything. So when Duncan hesitates, Kasim then stands up like he's going to shoot at the threat that he saw, before just turning on the president and then getting gunned down himself.
Yeah.
That wasn't very well thought out. For somebody who's very meticulous in planning this previous assassination attempt, to do that was kind of dumb, in my opinion.
Especially somebody who's in security like this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Know better and be better.
So now you've got Max struggling with, should he have done this? He broke his promise, but he also didn't feel as though killing the president was justified. And right. Rachel is consoling him and telling him, look, you know, you do what you feel is right. And Kasim, also upset, obviously not dead, comes to Mac the next day at the barge, and they have an argument outside where Kasim essentially tells him, you are a coward, you broke your promise, you betrayed me, and now I'm quote-unquote dead, I can't protect Nazir, and it's all your fault. And he challenges Duncan, which Duncan refuses. He won't fight him.
Right.
Kasim runs off, you know, takes off. Rachel overheard some of this. So Duncan says to himself, you know, I'm going to do something. He goes to the president. And while he's mm-hmm. there, he does try to warn Nazir that he's in danger. But the guy doesn't listen to him. And he has no reason to listen to him.
Right.
That didn't strike me as odd at all.
Yeah. He doesn't know Duncan.
No, not at all.
He doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know if this is part of the plot or whatever that could have been against the president. Like,
yeah, and he doesn't even understand like why Kasim would be wanting him to be a leader, because to him, Kasim is a dangerous man as well.
Right.
So there's kind of all that. Well, then Duncan finally meets with the president, Hamad, and says, I'm going to cash in my favor now. You owe me a favor for saving your life. I want you to leave Nazir alone, which makes President Hamad be like, well, that's weird. Why? And Duncan's just like, because, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So President Hamad does what I would expect President Hamad to do, which is go right to Nazir and essentially say, so this guy wants you protected. You have the will of the people. That isn't good for me. But I'm not going to have you killed. You committed suicide, and then throws him out a window.
Yeah.
When Duncan gets back to the barge is on fire and Rachel is nowhere mm-hmm. to be found. So eventually Duncan finds, I think he gets a call from Kasim, and goes to him. Kasim has kidnapped Rachel and, they have it out. They have their long drawn out fight, which Duncan wins, but refuses to take his head.
Yeah.
Now, that could be fallout from the Dark Quickening. We don't know. We'll kind of maybe talk about that a little bit later. But he refuses to take his head. Kasim leaves, but not before telling Duncan that Nasir was killed. So Duncan rescues Rachel, and then he makes one more visit to President Hamad at the embassy.
Yeah, he does.
Because of you, I am dead. I can no longer serve him. I can no longer protect him. The last of a line of Aldenan will die out because you couldn't honor your word.
So our special guest this week, there's a couple I'd like to talk about. First, I want to talk about Rico Ross as Kasim.
Yeah.
He is not an evil immortal, but he is an antagonistic immortal. Him and Duncan do not have a friendly past.
Right.
But it's not a thing where there's no like blood feud. There's not a kill on sight type thing. They butted heads the one time that they met. Kasim himself, I think, is an interesting character because he has been around for a long time. He's been serving the House of Aldeneb for hundreds of years and protected all these leaders of this country and Moors and whatnot. And he has a very strong sense of honor and of keeping his word. And when you make a promise to him, you keep your word as well.
Right.
Which is what makes it an interesting antagonist for Duncan in this episode, because Duncan breaks his promise.
Yeah.
And does kind of act without honor. And even though he feels as though he's doing the honorable thing, in Kasim's eyes, it's not at all.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I also, Rico Ross for me was physically a very imposing figure. And I liked that, especially for that final fight. Dude was in some good shape.
Yeah, it was.
Funny thing is, I couldn't figure out his accent. It was a little weird. It was it kind of felt like it was all over the place. And then I see where he was born in Chicago, Illinois. So a lot of it is he probably just didn't have enough time to really work on the character to find an accent.
Right.
Almost wish that they hadn't gone with it. But I also feel like it wouldn't be as memorable of a performance without that.
Yeah.
I think
it's interesting. We've seen a couple of immortals like this where they're like very much attached to where they're from and are not world travelers at all.
No.
But very much defend their home country and ideals and way of life. So it's really interesting to see a character like this who's that's what they do. They stay in their home. They don't venture off. Also funny to see him, like, just when you think you can't find a bigger knucklehead than Duncan MacLeod, we have a Kasim. And he's just like, oh, no. Words mean things. You stick to your word.
He reminded me a little bit of a more honorable kind of version of what's his name from The Wrath of Khali. Khamir right. In that episode was kind of the same thing, where he was protecting India, but he had sort of gone round the bend, right? He was off where the buses don't run anymore and had like gone too far. Kasim is a much more grounded version of that, where he is very, very staunch in his beliefs, but he doesn't cross the line like Khamir did.
Right.
So I kind of liked that.
Yeah. I just wish, and I think from Duncan's perspective, it's like, I need more than your word that this guy is this bad. And I wish we had gotten some kind of confirmation of that, like Duncan actually looking into the guy or something and not just relying on talk here and there.
Yeah, well, we do get that, but it's not until the very end when he does kill Nasir.
Right.
That's our confirmation for it. But we needed that before. You're right. We needed that earlier.
Yeah.
To back up Kasim, because I feel like it could have been written, this story could have been done in a different way to be more compelling than it was. It just felt very by the numbers in a lot of ways, and it felt kind of flat because of that. Because it does sort of set up Duncan to be, as Ace said in the chat, a little bit of the antagonist, in that he's the one breaking his promise to Kasim, Right. And so from Kasim's eyes, like, that's the worst thing you could do, because he made this promise to him that, you know, would happen. And the weird thing about it for me was that Duncan refuses to kill President Hamad. However, he immediately then goes to Hamad and says, you need to protect Nazir and not hurt him, and I need your word on it, and you better keep your word. It's like, dude, you were just the one saying, no, I'm not going to do what you promised to do. Now you're telling somebody else to do the same thing. Like, kind of, you know, what lane are we going in here? Are we keeping promises or not? So that was that kind of rubbed me the wrong way just a little bit. Like, it just didn't quite jive. But, you know, it is what it is. Getting back to Rico Ross, though, I think he did fine with what he was given.
Absolutely.
There just wasn't much given there. But he is a large, physically imposing person, and you need that if you're going to have somebody fighting McLeod, I feel like. But, you know, he wasn't given a whole lot on the page to do. He's just there to basically be like, this guy's bad, you need to kill him. And
right.
He's essentially the same as he was the last time Duncan saw him. I almost wanted there to be more of the backstory from when he was fighting with the Moors against the Spaniards in Spain, and kind of making that promise to, you know, his master at that point.
And even the aftermath of that.
Yeah, something to set him up as more honorable. They didn't lean into that hard enough.
Yeah,
they should have.
Right.
So yeah. And then we had Kristen Minter as Rachel McLeod, who we saw at the very end of last week's episode. She's here now. It was nice to see her come back, and I kind of liked how they had her there as sort of a sounding board and a reminder of Duncan's past, his heritage, where he's from, kind of to ground him, especially after the whole Dark Quickening thing. Without like overplaying and overstaying her welcome, she's there for a little bit, but at the end of the episode, she's like, yeah, this not for me. I'm going back to Scotland. It's safer there.
Yeah. One, she's like, we need to go back home. And it's like, oh, to the barge. She's like, no, to Scotland. That's where we're from. Let's go there. And Duncan is like, no, I'm not ready for that yet. And she's like, well, I am. Let's go. You know, there's times where for this episode, I wish there was somebody besides Rachel there. Like, I almost wish Rachel had left and Mythos was there for this episode a lot of times. And I wish we had gotten more fallout or, you know, repercussions of just coming back from the Dark Quickening and have that affect Duncan in this episode.
And I think in a more serialized, more modern telling of this, you would have had that. Right, because really, we should have had either Mythos or Dawson. You know, should have been there instead of Rachel. Now, from the syndicated aspect, it does make sense to have Rachel in there because it just is easier to drop her in for a single episode. And I didn't mind her being there. Kristen Minter's fine again in the role. But you're right; we should have had somebody else, and there should have been more talk and fallout from that Dark Quickening. They just sort of. Well, that story's over. We'll move on to something else now.
Yeah, and I know it's like super distant relatives and stuff, but still weirds me out.
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
That whole romantic thing, like,
especially when she even says it, like,
yeah,
distant third cousin or whatever. It's like, okay, I don't know.
Just like, especially as someone from the South, I'm like, don't like that. Don't like that at all.
You. And then one other special guest I have to mention is Vernon Dobchev as President Hamad. Hamad Ben Salam. He's just hamming it up.
He is.
Both he and Rico Ross had a lot of ADR done to their voices, too, although you can tell it's their voice.
Yeah.
But they definitely re-recorded a lot of their lines. Now, Vernon, what I like about him is he seems almost out of place, but like also fits the role. We've seen him in an episode before. He was in another episode of Highlander in season one, I believe it was.
Oh, wow.
where he played, let me find it here. It was in For Evil's Sake. He was Carlo Lucchese.
Okay.
But most people might recognize him if you heard the line, he was the butler in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That calls Indiana Jones Mickey Mouse, or says, if he is Scottish law, a Scottish lord, then I am Mickey Mouse. And I can't see him without hearing that line. It just, it's so ingrained in me. But it's great to see him. He's a fun character actor. I mean, he's still doing stuff today. He was in an episode of The Witcher. You know, so he's still acting. He's born in 1934, so he's almost 90 years old.
Dang. That's impressive.
I mean, he looks old in this.
Yeah. I mean,
this is, you know, almost 30 years ago, so yeah.
But one more. Did you notice the constable person interrogating Duncan?
Yes. So I saw that in the credits. I didn't
in the credits, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, Peter Wilson. I'm like, whoa, it's Nikita. And I feel
I'm not so sure her ADR was her actual voice, because it sounded
it may not have been
way higher.
It may not have been. And I think that's the
Or they had her do it higher when she recorded or something, because it definitely did not sound quite like her.
No. No. And it's interesting because this would have been right before she started La Femme Nikita.
Just before.
So this was like right before that, which, you know, she broke out with that and then did things like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Superman Returns and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, I didn't register at all at first. And then, but I kept thinking she looked familiar. I just couldn't place the face. And then I saw that name in the credits. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I saw her credit at the beginning of the episode. I was like, ooh, where's she coming in? And then she's like there for 2 seconds. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, also, I will say Tomer Sisley as Reza in the flashbacks. He was fun. He was silly. But I didn't hate him. Like, he's meant to be a little annoying, but endearingly so. So
yeah,
that was fun. But yeah, it's fine special guests this week. Nothing that really blows you out of the water. Like, I remembered Kasim, but I remembered Kasim because I just remembered this episode, not so much because, like, he made a lasting impression.
Right. But he's a real, like, hardworking actor, too. Still doing tons of stuff. So it's one of those cases where, like, everybody cast in this particular episode is a hardworking actor that does this kind of stuff all over the place. And they did everything they needed to in this episode super good.
Yep, they fit the episode, they did what they needed to do, and nobody was bad at all.
I'm dying, but I'm not blind. You are not made as other men. Your wounds become whole.
So, flashbacks this week, there was a couple of them. The weird thing about it, and I guess it's not really weird, but it was different, is there's actual voiceover leading into a couple of these flashbacks again. So we're really kind of hammering home that feel of like, oh, these are, there's a conversation going on while we're seeing this flashback.
Right.
But the first one is Max is in North Africa and he's staying outside of the city. And he meets a young boy, a bootmaker's son named Reza. Reza's super nervous. Duncan, I love Duncan messing with him. Saying like, you're being followed. And the guy's looking around. He's like, oh, it's just the wind. And all this kind of stuff. But he eventually kind of agrees, all right. Reza essentially invites himself along and is like, if you're going to travel in the desert, you need somebody like me with you. So can I come with you? And Duncan agrees. I do love the camel joke was great, too. So the next day, they're walking through town when they get cornered by Kasim's men and Kasim, who is a prefect in the city. And apparently Reza is in love with the princess and he spoke to her on the street, which is a grave offense.
Big no-no.
So Mac tries to fight it out, but doesn't work out and Reza's taken. And that's where that flashback ended. The second half of that is kind of the integral part to the plot of this episode, which is Mac goes and he breaks him out of jail. And as they're leaving, Kasim finds them. And here's where, again, Mac and him are not friends at all because Kasim when he runs into him the second time, he's like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. I just didn't think it would be so soon. Like, he was already ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So Duncan convinces him that, you know, what this boy did is not a crime worthy of being imprisoned, and they'll leave. They can get out. I like the, well, no one has ever escaped this prison. And Reza's like, I could be the first one.
They were having fun with him.
Oh, yeah. And this is where Duncan makes his promise. He promises Kasim that if he lets them go, he will owe him a favor. And even though, interestingly, when he first says it, he's like, other than my sword, anything you want. And I took that at first to literally be, I don't want to give you my physical sword. But then I thought about it, and I think Duncan was really kind of saying, like, not only do I not want to give you my sword, but I don't want to, like, fight anyone or kill anyone for you.
Yeah. But he's
basically backed into that corner because it seems like a life for a life type of deal. So yep. that's where the promise came from. There is one other flashback, which is Kasim explaining to Duncan about why Nasir al-Deneb should be the king or should be the president. Mm-hmm. And it's in Spain in 1460, and we kind of touched on that a little bit, but Kasim is fighting with the Moors. They're in Spain, right. And he's protecting his master al-Deneb. I liked that flashback because I liked how al-Deneb is like, get this arrow out of me, and he goes, you're going to survive all this. Like, he knew. And I love that line.
Figured it out a little bit.
Yeah. He's like, you are not made as other men. I love that line. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And that Allah watches over him, and he will survive all of this. And basically has Kasim kind of promise, like, put my house back in power. You know, get us back there. They're good flashbacks. Again, I think kind of like the special guests, they serve the purpose of the show. They're not fantastic, although I do like the middle one, probably the best of the three, the one that doesn't have Duncan in it, ironically.
Right.
Because I feel like that's the more compelling story that I wish we would have gotten more of and got to learn more.
Right.
It's kind of Kasim's background.
Mm-hmm. This is my qualm, is I think the second and third flashbacks should have been swapped. I think we should have had that story with Kasim and Duncan be a two-part flashback thing, and then the third one where he's actually dealing with the family and where it's just Kasim. I think that would have played a lot better to be the third flashback, him explaining, this isn't just, I think this guy, like, this is, I have seen this family. I have seen this family over centuries. They are good people no matter what, somehow. They should be in power. And they're not.
That's, you know, a really, really good point. And I agree with you. I think you are dead on there in that those would have worked better swapped. And I would mm-hmm. have, I think I would have liked them better had they been swapped.
Yeah.
You know, and give us, again, it's that giving us more of the background of Kasim and giving us a reason to listen to him. Instead of him being, you can have the antagonism between Kasim and MacLeod, but if you give Kasim more backstory, more kind of honor in his story, then it gives it gives more weight to Duncan breaking that promise now, because he's not only just breaking a promise, he's breaking a promise to somebody who holds promises in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
That we know. The only thing I can think of is they don't want to paint Mac in a bad light, but you can. It's not the worst thing, because I arguably, and I will talk about this, I feel like there's a thing in this episode that kind of does. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, you could have played with it with fallout from the Dark Quickening and Max just not ready to just kill somebody for no good reason.
Yeah, that too. Like, yeah, that would have been great.
Is why I'm like, I want somebody besides Rachel there who understands what's going on, and Max talking to him, being like, you know, somebody making the point, Kasim is right. Why are you not helping Kasim? Like,
yeah,
you know, Duncan could argue, you know, things are different in this era, you know, the modern era. But also, I just got through being super dark. because right. I decided to take out somebody that needed to be taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm not going to trigger that again or, you know, start going down that road again by making, by, you know, killing this person for this reason. So.
Yeah, that could have been done. But yeah. As flashbacks go, the flashbacks were fine. But mm-hmm. you nailed it. You're right. They should have flip-flopped 2 and 3. And
yeah.
Put the Spain one at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You've destroyed with your treason.
I did whatever I could.
But not what you should have.
No Richie or Joe this week. No mention of either one of them. Nope. We have our thoughts on whether one of them should have been there. I feel like Joe should have mm-hmm. probably been there.
Yeah. Joe would have been good to also confirm... what's his name's character? The who Cassim's wanting him to kill. Like,
oh yeah, he could have had all the background on Hamad and right. how terrible he is and all that.
Exactly.
Now the final fight, I kind of liked it. It wasn't the best fight that we've seen, but it's a good choreographed fight between the two men. And again, Rico Ross is a big, imposing figure. He's well built. Mm-hmm. He looks the part. And I kind of liked how it got a little bit sloppy and kind of brawly again.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to be the cleanest fight.
Yeah, I wonder if how well he actually was fighting or not. It seemed okay, but we couldn't see a dang thing half the time. Like, turn on an extra light, please.
Yeah, it did go a little too dark in the stylization, which was a bummer.
Which, you know, sometimes they use to hide that, you know, the other actor is not that great a fighter compared to Adrian Paul. And that's fine, but
mm-hmm.
man, in this one, I feel like they were just too much in the dark.
could be. It was a good fight. I wouldn't call it a great fight.
Right.
And no, no quickening or anything like that to talk about either, which from a story standpoint, I can kind of see again, if we're sort of playing mm-hmm. on that, like Duncan's just come off that dark quickening and maybe he's afraid of
right.
it.
Yeah. And just interesting that he didn't kill this guy.
Well, yes. And then that brings me to my final thoughts on the episode, which is it's a good episode, but that ending bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
The ending bothered yeah. me because we've spent the entire episode with Duncan being like, I'm not going to kill this guy. I'm not going to judge him. Then he fights with Cassim and he beats Cassim, but he won't take his head, which is an honorable thing to do, right? Because Cassim isn't in the wrong.
Right.
And then he turns right around and goes back to President Hamad and throws him out a window.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is the deal with that? You've just spent all this time. You broke a promise to someone that you had made and made a huge deal out of that, and made a huge deal out of telling this guy to keep his promise, and then mm-hmm. you end up just killing him anyway. So what were you hesitating for the whole time? Like, that bugged
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And it felt so weird for Duncan to do that in the context of this episode especially.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, maybe injure him or something, like give him a reason to fear what Duncan could do.
Right.
And just have Duncan walk away. Like, I mean, you know, do the whole slash him across the face, give him a scar that he's never going to forget kind of thing.
Yeah. Or leak some information and like show yeah. him, you know, this, all this information.
Do it the legitimate way he asked Cassim to try and do.
Exactly. But instead he goes and you just toss him out a window. That to me felt like it was added on.
Or have Cassim show up right behind Duncan and do the deed he's been wanting to do the whole episode. Why hasn't he done that before anyways? Like, he's not tied to the guy anymore. He's not tied to this. Show up, freak him out, and then kill him like yeah. he wanted to.
That could have worked. There's so many other ways that this episode could have ended that would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
That just... For me, that really took a lot of wind out of the sails of the what was yeah. a solid episode. Suddenly I'm like, oh man, that ending just left a sour taste in my mouth.
And then that ending feels like something that you could have tied to the dark quickening like thing and just, you know,
sure.
had that, like, it's that temptation. Duncan ends up killing a guy and then realizes, oh, I took that step.
Yep.
But we don't get any kind of resolution like that.
No, we don't at all. And so it just feels like, I don't know. I was left wanting at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. And it typically doesn't happen with episodes, especially this season. This season has been,
yeah.
even the lower tiered episodes are like, well, you know, it's fine, but it could have, we could have had a little bit more. This one, I'm just like, eh, and then, oh.
Yeah, this
just,
one just
bummed me out.
It's an okay episode until the end, and then the end feels off.
Yes.
Which just colors the whole episode that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the last thing. That's the lasting memory of this episode is Duncan, somewhat out of character, going and killing President Hamad.
Mm-hmm.
When he spent the entirety of the episode trying not to. So,
right.
I just, yeah, I could have done without that. There's a lot of different ways to wrap that one up. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. We'll move on to the next episode. Next week's episode is Methuselah's Gift. And just a little something for y'all. Amanda's back.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to that. That'll be fun. That's going to be next week. Now, if you enjoy this show and you want to catch it live when we record, come on by twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Audie and I record live. And we chat in between segments, and it's a lot of fun. So definitely come hang out if you want to see it live. Otherwise, as a podcast, comes out on Thursdays at anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander. It's available on any of your podcasting platforms, a rating and review on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts does do a lot, and it helps us out, so we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
I am on Twitter at TVS Travis. Love to talk Highlander, love to talk movies, all sorts of stuff like that. Audie is also on Twitter, and you put your art up there too, and you do art for episodes.
Yes. So you can find me at oddlynormal1 with the one spelled out. Yeah, this week it was a little easier. I just did Kasim's Scimitar.
Yeah, which was a cool sword. I have to admit. Mm-hmm. And also, if you like Audie and I chatting about old television shows, guess what? We do it on another show. It's called Those Were the Days. Audie and I are joined by Stephen Adams and Amy Frost, and the four of us talk classic TV. This week, we were talking about...
Doogie Howser, M.D.
That's right. Which was a weird show, and we're not entirely sure who it was aimed at. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready for kind of what it was either.
Yeah.
And we are starting a month of Saturday morning cartoons, and this is gonna be fun.
Squee!
So you can follow that show on Twitter at Those Days Show, and check it out. If you love hearing us talk about TV, then it's just more of the same, but with two other great voices on there as well.
Yep.
So until next week and episode 16, Methuselah's Gift, remember that there can be only one dude with a whole bunch of camel jokes.
And a guy flying out the window.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.